fairy tale. Well, I'm reminded of the quote by C.S. Lewis. And any of you that don't know C.S. Lewis, he lived from 1898 to 1963. He wrote more than 30 books, which have been translated into more than 30 languages and have sold millions of copies. And one of his most famous books is called Mere Christianity. And C.S. Lewis was a lay theologian, and his writing provided reasoned and evidential basis for Christianity, defending it against objections. And his quote is, Jesus was either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. And you know what? That's what it comes down to, is either you believe one of those three. And I choose to believe that he is who he says he was, that he is Lord. And the Christmas story is a real story about real people. It really happened. Absolutely. Mary was pregnant with Jesus, just as the Bible says. The angel Gabriel was there. The dangerous journey to Bethlehem, Caesar's decree, Herod's insane jealousy and how he tried to kill the baby, the inn with the no vacancy sign, the angels, the shepherds, the mysterious wise men from the east, and the star stopping over Bethlehem just to mark the way for those who were looking for the special child. And we've heard the Christmas story so many times that familiarity can breed contempt, and or at least a kind of casual disinterest. But it all happened absolutely just as the Bible says. The story of Christmas is a wonderful story, tells the most amazing story, that God invaded human history in the form of a tiny, helpless baby. This was no ordinary baby. The prophets had told of his coming hundreds of years before. When you get past all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, past all the family celebrations, the gifts, the cards, the dinners, the traveling, Christmas is still about that little baby boy that was sent to be the savior of the world. And why did he come? Why did God send his son to this sometimes cruel and harsh world? Let's watch a video called The News.
Oh, come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. To thee, O Israel.
That video brings it home. It combines the sorrows of the world, the tragedies, the imperfections of the world we live in, with the hope and joy that come through Christ's birth. And without that, sometimes it'd be kind of tough to get up in the morning without that hope and joy. So if any of you are keeping track, I'm heading down the home stretch now. I have about 7 minutes to go, and I'm sure you got Christmas baking you want to get at and stuff like that, but I just have a bit more for you, okay? So, and God loves us so much that all the time he's giving, giving, and giving. That's what he's doing all day long. And what made the first Christmas the best ever is that God finally got to give his best gift of all. It's like he'd been giving and giving and giving from the beginning of creation, but he had this one he'd been saving up for all these years. It's like when he gave Jesus, God outgave himself. It's like he set a new record for compassion and generosity. Like I said before, God is a giver, not a taker. God's generosity isn't lavish, not just creative. It's continual and never ending. It's unstoppable. From the book of Lamentations, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning, God is saying to us, did you like that sunset last night? Here's food to replenish your body. Here's air for your lungs. Here are your friends and family for you to share good times with and love. Here is beauty for your eyes to behold. Here is music for your ears. Here is strength for your needs. Here is a purpose for your day. Here's a great city for you to live in. Here's a great church for you to fellowship in. Here are thoughts for your mind. God is giving and giving to us all the time. This Christmas, are we going to pursue an alternative to the want more, buy more, have more, shop more, wrap more, break more, get disappointed more, be rushed more, frenzied, stressed, insanity that our world calls the Christmas season? Or will we reflect on this great God who so loved the world that he gave his son for you and me? Then we will think about how we can make this a Christmas of compassion. And one of the most profound teachings of Jesus is it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus is saying it's a better way to live to be a giver than to be a taker. You will be more enhanced and enriched by giving. So what would make this a great Christmas? Not how awesome our Christmas lights look on our houses, the great the music here is at our church, the stuff we get, the food we eat, the moments we create, feelings we experience. What if we were to get so filled up with the love of God that we were to become channels to show God's love to other people around us, people who are not as fortunate as us, who are hurting, who don't have much hope? What if we were to express record levels of compassion in actual, concrete, tangible, personal, sometimes sacrificial ways? What if we were to truly show our Christian love to the world around, right here in our community, to people who need it the most? And like, for example, this afternoon with the lodge service, I mean, that's awesome. That's showing our good Christian love to go and have an awesome service over at the lodge. And love shouldn't be a foreign concept to us. Through the caring for one another, we can spread the love of Christ and create a nurturing climate. And the expression of love can change those around you. Our actions speak louder than words. Whether we realize it or not, the world is paying attention. As Christians, we should express love by caring for one another, loving people in our community, and taking time out of our busy lives to be a good... try to make a difference for God's kingdom. And God sent Jesus to us so that one day he would grow up to be a very important part of history. And his story in history is one of truth, love, and hope. This story brought salvation to all of us. Jesus was born so one day the price could be paid for the things we have done that are wrong. The Bible says we've all sinned. We are born with a sin nature. We do things that don't please God. We need to have that sinful nature removed. The only way is through Jesus. Jesus came so he could die on the cross for all our sins. If we believe that Jesus died for our sins, we can ask him to come into our hearts and forgive us. Then we are clean and made whole. We know that heaven's a real place where we can go when life is over. And speaking of that type of thing, I went to a funeral last Monday. A 54-year-old conservation officer friend of mine that lived in La Ronge. His name was Derek, and he died at age 54 of a heart attack. I'm sure Derek planned on enjoying Christmas with his family. But I don't know of his spiritual well-being, but the point I want to make on this is that the bottom line is none of us here know when our days are going to end. And I was thinking when I was preparing this, I was thinking I made an appointment at the clinic for late January to have a medical for, because I'm going to retire in the spring. And I joked with a lady at the clinic. I said, if I pass my medical, will I be guaranteed to live and enjoy my retirement for a minimum of 25 years? And of course, she smiled at me and she said, "I guarantee something about a guarantee till you get to the door anyways," or something like that. She had a good sense of humor. So of course, we have no guarantees as to how long we're going to live on this earth. And, you know, again, it reminds me, I was watching an interview of a famous singer on TV the other day. And when asked what he thought about death, he replied that part of living is dying. Hey, we all agree with that, 100%. And then he said he didn't know for sure, but he thinks death is going to be a, quote, pretty good place to be. And I say it'll be a great place to be if we accept this free gift of salvation that's being offered to us. That's the way I look at it according to the Bible. And if you haven't accepted this free gift of salvation, is today the day you'll do it, or will you decide some other day? And who knows how long you'll be around to accept this free gift. Jesus also explained the standard of love we are to share with others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wise men still seek him, and those who seek him find him. That will never change. So I'll end with this. Have you ever looked up in the night sky and thought, wow, that's a lot of stars out there? And I'm sure we've all done that. It would take a pretty big God to create all those stars. Ironically, this is the same God you see on Christmas cards. A little baby surrounded by shepherds and farm animals. All-powerful God lying helplessly in a manger. Doesn't seem the most fitting place for the creator of the universe, right? What if the reason God showed up in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago was to know you and me? Sound pretty absurd? You're right. It does seem ridiculous. Why would the God that created the universe want to know you? What could God hope to get out of a relationship with you? Gifts? He doesn't need anything. He created everything. Flattery? He already knows how powerful he is and who he is, so he doesn't need us for flattery. So you have only one thing to offer God, and that's yourself. That's one of the mysteries of Christmas. God entered time and space to intersect with your and my life, to know you and be known by you, to love you and be loved by you, to save you. The angel in the Christmas story said it best. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So absolutely, Jesus is the reason for this season. Let's pray. Father, today we lit the candle of love that everyone may see Jesus is the light of the world. Help us to live in your light, to live in your hope, to live in your peace, to live in your joy, to live in your love. Shine within our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you all have a real blessed Christmas season.
I was going to finish in with a benediction, but the music is nice. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Ken, for that message. It's always interesting how I overlook the humanity of the whole story. Like, I've never thought once about Jesus' grandparents until the video with the text. But he had grandparents, obviously, and uncles and aunts and cousins. And, you know, the whole story about God coming into our situation, a family like ours, life as we know it. God came and joined us, which is amazing. I'm going to ask you to stand for the benediction. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen.